శ్రీమద్ భాగవతం కెంటో 11 చాప్టర్ నంబర్ 6 టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 1
ఇన్ ఇంక్రీజ్ ద టోన్ ప్లీజ్ ఇంక్రీజ్ ద టోన్ టోన్ ఆర్ ట్రబుల్ ట్రబుల్ ఆర్ టోన్
టెక్స్ట్ నంబర్ 1 శ్రీశుక ఉవాచ అథ బ్రహ్మాత్మా జై దేవైః అథ బ్రహ్మాత్మా జై దేవై ప్రజేశైర్ ఆవృతో భాగ్యాత్ ప్రజేశైరావృతో భగాత్ భవశ్చ భూత భవ్యేషో యయౌ భూతగణైర్వృతః శ్రీశుక ఉవాచ అథ బ్రహ్మాత్మజైర్దేవై ప్రజేశైరావృతోభ్యగాత్ భవశ్చ భూత భవ్యేషో యయౌ భూతగణైర్వృతః శ్రీశుక ఉవాచ అథ బ్రహ్మాత్మజైర్దేవై ప్రజేశైరావృతోభ్యగాత్ భవశ్చ భూత భవ్యేషో యయౌ భూతగణైర్వృతః భూతభావేషో యయౌ భూతో గణైర్వృతః శ్రీశుక ఉవాచ లేడీస్ ఓకే శ్రీశుక ఉవాచ శ్రీ శుకదేవ్ గోస్వామి సేడ్ అథ దెన్ బ్రహ్మా లార్డ్ బ్రహ్మ ఆత్మజై బై హిస్ సన్స్ హెడెడ్ బై సనక దేవై by the demigods prajeshai and by the progenitors of universal population headed by marichi avrutaha surrounded abhyagat went to dwarka bhavah lord shiva cha also భూత to all living beings. Bhavya Ishaha, the bestower of auspiciousness. Yayau went Bhuta Ganai by the hordes of ghostly creatures. Vrutaha, surrounded. Translation. Sri Shukadev Goswami said, Lord Brahma then set off for Dwarka, accompanied by his own sons, as well as by the demigods and the great Prajapatis. Lord Shiva, the bestower of all auspiciousness to all living beings, also went, surrounded by many ghostly creatures. Next verse. The powerful Lord Indra, along with Maruta, Adityas, Marutas, Adityas, Vasus, Ashvinis, Ribhus, Angiras, Rudras, Vishwadevas, Sadhyas, Gandharvas, Apsaras, Nagas, Siddhas, Charanas, Guhyakas, the great sages and forefathers, and the Vidyadharas and Kinnaras arrived at the city of Dwarka, hoping to see Lord Krishna. By his transcendental form, Krishna, the Supreme Lord, enchanted all human beings and spread his own fame throughout the worlds. The Lord's glories destroy all contamination within the universe. Purport. The personality of Godhead descends within the material world to assist the demigods in the cosmic management. Thus, the demigods can normally see such forms of the Lord as Upendra. However, it is indicated that although accustomed to seeing various Vishnu expansions of Lord, the demigods were specifically eager to see the most beautiful form of the Lord as Krishna. Deha Dehi Vibhagascha Neshvare Vidyate Kvachit. There is no distinction between the Supreme Lord and his personal body. The Jiva soul is different from his body, and the beautiful transcendental form of the Lord is identical with the Lord in all respects. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So we are beginning today the new chapter of 11th canto, 6th chapter. We have finished the 5th chapter. In the 5th chapter, the teachings of Nava Yogendras to Maharaj Nimi are just over. And whoever has heard it with attention and devotion and sincerity will be free from all contaminations and will attain the highest spiritual perfection. Very beautiful narration. But that is a different event at different timeline altogether, where Vasudev was about to perform yajna at Kurukshetra, if I am not wrong. Is that right? Kurukshetra or Mathura, wherever. After the war, they had performed the yajna there, Vasudev Maharaj. This is a different timeline altogether. Now we are reaching Dwarka. Sukadeva Goswami has a challenge of completing most important things in limited time. So he may not go event by event in sequence, but he will go to important events, whatever needs to be told next. So now he is narrating the scene in Dwarka, and Lord Krishna as Dwarkadhish is in Dwarka in his palace, and Lord Brahma with all those people we narrated, elaborated, all this variety of people from variety of lokas are accompanying him, and they are going towards Dwarka to have darshan of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada explains also that although the demigods are generally entitled to see the Vishnu form of the Lord, whenever he takes Vamana avatar, Narsimha avatar, or Ram avatar, or whatever, mostly they are entitled to see those forms. Who may not stay for a long time, Lord Ramchandra stayed for a long time, but others, they came and went. So, but at the same time, even if the personality of Godhead is extremely beautiful, so also the personality of Godhead's incarnations also are very beautiful. So for us, it is ultimately beautiful. But still, those who have seen those beauties, they can also differentiate between different varieties of beauties. So they also, although they are accustomed and entitled to see Upendra or incarnation of Vishnu forms, they still know that the two-armed form of Krishna is very, very beautiful, extremely beautiful. So they are now realizing that the purpose of Krishna's arrival is almost over. All that he's supposed to do, Paritranaya Sadhunam, Vinashaya Diskrutam, is already over. He has established Dharma, he has established Yudhishthira Maharaj as a king, all Kauravas are vanquished, the earth is freed from all burden for which the earth had come crying to Krishna. So all that is fulfilled, and it's also a difficulty of demigods when they have to run the show. These demons are not ordinary demons who come and really disturb even Brahma also. By their tapasya, by their so many things are so disturbing. So they are always seeking help from the Lord. Yes, 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 you have empowered us and you have put us in a position to maintain the world, and you have also empowered and authorized us in various departments. But still, in presence of this kind of demons, it becomes overwhelming for us to run the show. So they also were overburdened, and earth also was overburdened. So in the name of earth, they also went and requested, please come down to help us so that we can run the show nicely. So although they are very highly empowered with authority and skills to create and do things, still without the support of the Lord, they cannot manage. That is the only understanding we can get from here. So similarly, we may be highly empowered, or we may have received instructions of Gurudev for a particular mission, but without the mercy of Gurudev and the Lord, we cannot hope to perform anything nicely. We may be also shining, doing something very wonderfully. But at the back of our consciousness, we always know that this is mercy. What is seen to be performed very nicely by us is actually the manifestation of the skill of the mercy of the Lord, of the Guru Maharaj, and of the Lord, of course, which is ultimate source of all the mercy. So whenever a puppet performs very wonderfully, you don't see the threads anywhere. The puppet is doing so well. But the puppet should know, and we should also know, that the threads are the things which are making the puppet do things nicely. So there is nothing to be proud of. Even if we perform well, shiningly well, extraordinarily well, as devotees, we should be always aware and humble enough to accept that all this is happening because of the power of the mercy that has been given to us. When the instruction comes, along with that mercy comes. And along with the mercy, success also comes. And what is our job is to offer ourselves 100%. So here Brahmaji and all demigods are offering their 100%. But still they feel that our 100% is not going to actually suffice to run the show the way it should be run, the way Krishna wants it to run. So we need to take shelter. So again and again demigods take shelter. And Krishna also is very kind. Whenever demigods are approaching, he immediately comes down. At Ravan's time he came down. At Kamsa's time also he came down. He comes down. It's like he didn't say, what is this? I have already given you power, everything I have given you. Now unity is yours. Now you don't come to head office again and again. This center is yours. This branch is yours. Just manage. This policy you take from me. Now they come again and again. They come again and again with complaints and this is happening, that is happening. So, like we are having now 12 hospitals, and so we get bugged sometimes. You know, some small things come to us and asking questions, and we say, why have we kept you there? We given full authority for you, given full guidelines to you. Manage yourself. Unless some disaster happens, you call. Don't call us otherwise. That's how we react. But you see Krishna's, you see all the time when Ravana's time, earth went and demigods went. Lord said, I will come. I'll come in four forms. And I will do the needful. I'll say for thousands of years. I'll establish idealism, Maryada Purushottam. When earth went again, at Dwapar Yuga again, he said, yes, I will come. And in detail he instructed, you go here, you go there, take incarnations, take your positions, I will be coming very soon, then I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll do that. And there's no irritation anywhere. It's only happiness. It's only pleasure. It's only sweetness. It's only beauty. It's only transcendental pleasure everywhere. And the same demigods are now coming and telling, my Lord, thank you very much. You have come down and you have done so much of labor for us. You relieved us from all the demons. Now my Lord, you may please leave. Go back to your abode. Lord is saying, yes, I will leave. What is their position to tell the Lord, please go? They can request to come. But then you can't say, you go now. But they have that humility and relationship. So they can say, my Lord, on our request you came. So now we can go back to your own kingdom. Yes, I have done my job now. Last thing is remaining. My dynasty is still there. And they are becoming very proud and arrogant and uddand. So I need to take them. Because if I am there, I can still tame them. Yadavas, not Yadavas, the Narayani Sena. Basically Yadavas only. If I am around, then they are like controlled and tamed. But if I go and they remain behind, they already are like doing Valgana. That will destroy the world and we conquer the world and we'll overpower everybody. So I know them very well. So I will just take them also before me. I mean send them before me. And then I will leave also after that. So this chapter actually is the Lord's activity response to the request of demigods. He is now winding up his earthly pastimes and also entourage. So you all know that Pandavas, the Yadavas were playing in playful mood. They went to one Rishi and the Rishi, they made Samba, a pregnant woman, putting pillows and dressed him as a woman and just made fun by giving left hand out of the cloth and tell us this girl, this lady, what she will deliver, boy or a girl. So Sadhu understood that this is Krishna's dynasty. Huh? Who is their father? Is the controller of creator of the whole universe, supreme personality of Godhead, their family members are doing such kind of behavior. They must be controlled and checked immediately. So for their welfare, not because of anger or insult or being ridiculed, but for their welfare out of compassion, they said that a musal will be born. What is it called in English? That rod will be born. Huh? Lump of iron will be born. And that will be the cause of all of your destruction. Immediately all the guys, this guy is finished, ran. And soon enough from that abdomen, that musal was born. And they went to Ugrasen Maharaj. And Ugrasen Maharaj also worried, my God, what happened? You guys are so playful and naughty. You know, what does that mean? It is the cause of our destruction. We'll be all destroyed. So now the children were trembling in fear. But then the Ugrasen said, don't worry, we'll do something. So he powdered it completely. But the root of that couldn't be powdered. It remained as a piece. So that piece and all the powder, they collected and they threw in the ocean of Dwarka. They thought, ki matter is over. Matter doesn't get over like that. Whenever sadhus say something, you cannot dilute, you cannot manipulate, you cannot change. It has to be accepted as it is. Whatever happens, the sadhu may choose to give you some ushap, some discount, but nobody else has the power of doing anything with the words of sadhu. So everything was over. This is all childhood and they grew up and they become warriors and they fought the war of Mahabharata. And then what happened? Everybody became arrogant. They thought we'll make a party. We'll go to Prabhas Chetra. We just went there last year, Yatra. Prabhas Chetra, very beautiful place. And then they had party there, and of course party mein they take liquor, they took some rice, fermented liquor. And they got intoxicated, and naturally they thought, who did more chivalry? Who was more parakrami? So he said, I did so much. Then he said, yeah, I did so much. And he said, he did so much. And then naturally they felt, how you did more than me? No, I have done more for more than you. And then that started. And this is what happened when you get intoxicated. In normal conditions, everything was fine. But the rice liquor, fermented liquor, caused all the difference. The consciousness got altered. I went on different direction, different plane. Different plane of intoxication and maya. And the result? Pride came up. Uddandata came up. Argument came up. Broke into fight. Then broke into war. And they were so intoxicated, they just lifted the grass from there. And the grass was grown from the powder which settled on the ground at that place. The powder flew, whatever motion maybe the fish has or the water has in the motion, it went ahead and settled down in one place near Dwarka only, on the ground, and each particle gave rise to one grass, very special grass. It was like soft and very mellow, like that. But as soon as they plucked it, it became iron rod. Each and every rod of, blade of grass became iron rod, more sharp than a sword also. And when they hit that to someone, because they got angry, so they all plucked it, all became iron rod, and they just had a war among themselves only. And whoever touched that to another person, that person died. Fell off, just within no time, everyone dead. So whenever there is arrogance and fight because of arrogance, it's not that somebody wins, somebody loses. Both parties lose. It's like illicit sex when somebody does. Both parties lose. Both parties get degraded. Whenever two people come and take intoxication or do hatya or do gambling, everybody just goes down. It's not that somebody is more karma, more punya, less punya. These are the activities when one adopts in life. What is expected out of that is only destruction and degradation. So everybody was parakrami. Everybody had done fabulous parakram. But when arrogance came and because of arrogance fight came up, everybody got destroyed. Although they were very great warriors and chivalry, people doing great chivalry. They were Ajaya. They were Narayani Sena, they were not able to be touched or killed by anybody. Everybody died in Mahabharata war. But this party who fought from Kaurava side, they were invincible. They remained as it is. They went back home as it is. So such invincible power, people having such power, they were destroyed simply because of infights, Very great lesson for all of us. Prabhupada also always say, our Hare Krishna movement and the devotees are like Yadavi Sena. No one can destroy them. No Mahabharata war, or no greater war than Mahabharata, or nothing else external disaster can destroy them. But they will be destroyed if they fight among themselves. The devotees are, actually speaking, there may be many calamities come from outside. But the outside calamities, when they come, the devotees become more strong because of unity or because of feelings and because of inner strength. And they can defeat the external challenges. But when they fight within themselves, then that is more stronger than the external disaster. And fighting can finish everything. All the years after years after years, efforts that devotees have put up to invest it, to develop something, can be destroyed within no time. There may be so many austerities, so many sacrifices performed by so many devotees for a long period of time. And after all that, the result comes and then the pride props in and it can destroy everything very fast. Long period of sacrifice and short period of fight. Everything is finished. So, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Maharaj said that it is very difficult to stay with devotees. In the ashram, the community of devotees of Grahastha maybe, when together we stay, trying to perform Shuddha Bhakti Seva, very difficult. But at the same time, he continues saying, also, although it is very difficult, it is very essential to stay with devotees to make any progress in Krishna consciousness. So how do you reconcile these two statements? Only answer is that tolerance and patience. As they tolerate us, I tolerate them. That's the only formula. Like how the marriage can continue. The husband tolerates wife, wife tolerates husband. And beyond that, they love each other. That's why they can tolerate each other. Similarly, tolerating is like a negative statement. You tolerate me, I tolerate you. But that becomes easier if you love somebody. So if you love the devotees and for which you stay with them, then you can forgive them, you can tolerate them, you can manage with them. Because the love is so overwhelming that the things which are anarthas or unwanted things are not so appearing to be significant. Because the love is more significant than the difference of opinion. So that's how you see the great dynasty who are never defeated by anybody in the whole history of their life. They got destroyed like this within no time. Of course, it's not Lord's Leela. But whenever Lord does, he's got great lesson in it for all of us. And then Sri Krishna also left. So this chapter actually talks in detail about that pastime. Of the Yadu dynasty retires to Prabhas and then retires to spiritual world also from there. So this is Dwarka. This is Lord has performed first Leelas in appearance Leela in Mathura, then some Leela in Gokul, childhood pastime, infancy pastimes. Then he has moved to Nandagaon, Barsana, and of course Vrindavan, and performed 11 years, 52 days of Leela, Braj Leela. Then he has left from there to Mathura, then some Mathura Leela, then Dwarka Leela, then Hastinapur Leela, and again Dwarka, and then back home, back to Godhead. The essential difference in all this thing is that in Vrindavan Leela, there is no cognizance of Krishna being Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in all the other Leelas out of Vrindavan, everywhere there is cognizance that he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. There may be friendship, there may be motherly affection, there may be all kinds of affection. But in all the affections, there is a cognizance, understanding is there that he is Lord actually. So Arjuna is a very thick friend of Krishna. But still he knows Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Kunti is a very thick motherly affection personality. But still she knows he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishmadeva had, I think, Vatsalya and Shanta together maybe. He also had understanding he is Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in Vrindavan, Yashoda Mai, Nanda Maharaj, cowherd boys, cowherd girls, cows, monkeys, peacocks, they never knew Krishna is Supreme Personality. Of course they knew. It is by the dint of cultivating scriptural knowledge for many, many, many lifetimes they had attained the position of being a Brijvasi associate of Krishna. But in that position, Krishna's Maya itself, herself, covers that knowledge. So there's some agyan which is Krishna directed. Avidya that we have, that I am not this body, and I am this body and I am not spirit soul. I am this body only. Aham mamiti. That avidya is Bahiranga Maya directed. Because of her influence we forget the reality. But here you forget the reality by the desire of Krishna. So that the loving exchanges can be enhanced. So we seek that avidya actually. Although we are cultivating knowledge here about the Supreme Lord. But still, ultimately, if Krishna chooses us, that I will steal that knowledge from him, that I am Lord, it is a very wonderful thing. Because even that happens in a pure stage of realization, that knowledge about Krishna being Supreme Lord is stolen from us, then what erupts is the amorous love. The love that Krishna also hankers for. Why is he stealing that knowledge from the Vrindavan Vasis? Because he knows that knowledge, which is very wonderful tool for a conditioned soul to reach perfection, that knowledge is actually hindrance for him to experience great loving, amorous experiences with his devotees. So he steals away and promotes or inspires or invigorates that wonderful loving mellow with Vrijvasi's heart. And he also gives up all the opulences of Vaikunthas and comes down incognito, not to be known by anybody as Supreme Lord. You know, sometimes a big man who's a very busy, high-profile personality, high-tension jobs, he chooses to take vacation in an island where no one knows him. Like if an Indian cricketer has to, say, take a vacation, where he will go? We can't go to Bangladesh, we can't go to Pakistan, he can't go to England, he can't go to Australia. He has to go somewhere like Philippines, maybe, in some island over there, where no one plays cricket also there. So he can move around nicely, you know, go to shop and buy some socks or some toothbrush, which opulence he doesn't have here. So like that, Sri Krishna, as Supreme Personality of Godhead, if he goes to Vaikunthas and he goes to Dwarka, everybody is like welcoming, showering flowers and singing songs and chanting hymns and so many things. So everywhere there is like, you know, awe and reverence and welcome and welcome. I remember Radhana Swami telling me one time that in the hospital I'm admitted here with pneumonia and I'm coughing and I'm alone in the room with one of my assistant. But I know out of this door many devotees are waiting to offer dandavat. So that gives me tension. So please see that no devotees are in the whole lobby also. Because anytime I want to open the door and see, I should not see devotees bowing down to me. Then I am also sick. I can't bow down, but I want to bow down if they are bowing down. That gives me pressure. So you see, an elevated personality also has to respond to the love and respect that others give them. So they can't be at rest. But they're in the forest somewhere, no one knows them. They can go around nicely, move around, take breath, to sit anywhere and do some pranayam maybe, or some relax and doze off for a while. Or read something, a chant, or something they can do on their own. Nobody's watching them. They're not under paparazzi's follow-up. So Krishna also looks for some kind of a break like that from all the official positions and responsibilities and receiving respects and giving instructions, all the official opulent situations that he has. See, actually speaking, no one can enjoy opulences ultimately. Opulences give some pleasure, some titillation, some happiness, some aggrandizement. But opulences cannot satisfy your soul. So you may hanker for them, but actually they don't give you that satisfaction which you are looking for. That satisfaction is there when you become actually detached from the opulences and look for love with people, with living entities. For him, there are pure devotees in Brajvasis. For us, maybe friends here and there. But the real happiness is when we seek pleasure in the relationships with living entities. And for Lord also is such a wonderful person. He's supreme person, not ordinary person. And such a wonderful person that he seeks that love and seeks that break in love with devotees. And that satisfies him. So even in that experiencing or seeking that love, if he has to get punished by his mother, for example, one of the ladies is going to punish you. They're going to scold you. They're going to tie you maybe. And maybe many ladies are going to come and scold you together and complain about you. And you may appear to be stealing things for seeking that love. And you will be recognized or maybe cursed or maybe bad worded as chore, as a thief. He doesn't mind all that also. Because the pleasure of that love which he receives when he interacts with those devotees is much beyond these bad upadhis like chore or the scoldings that you get or a complaint that you receive. It's just, you don't mind all those things. Or maybe some small boys will scold you or threaten you that will not take you in the play tomorrow. That you are living right now in the middle of the losing situation. You are giving the reason of your father calling you for lunch and mother scolding you and you are trying to leave at the very time of losing the game. Will not take you for the game tomorrow. And that is like a threat. And that also is okay with. He again joins the game back. No. Let my mother scold me, father scold me, but I will not like to get abandoned from the game tomorrow. So he continues. And there may be a situation where he will lose the game. And he may have to carry some of the living entities who are like jivatmas on his shoulder as a punishment and give them a ride. He will say, take a longer ride for me. Last time when I lost, you made me give a long ride to you. Now you are lost, so you take me a longer ride. So somebody sitting on the Supreme Personality of Godhead on the shoulder and giving them long round in the forest, barefoot. It's all right. It's okay. Because that experience of love in behaving not as Supreme Personality of Godhead and experiencing that love in their avidya is such a wonderful experience that he doesn't mind anything. He doesn't mind even becoming a woman, becoming a sakhi to meet his beloved. So for a man to become a woman, even by the disguise also, if we are given a role as a woman, suppose, you will think 50 times, should I take the role or not? You have to be really humble. Yesterday I met Shankararanya Prabhu, who came from Dallas to meet me. And he had become Draupadi in our Asat Sabha drama in 2001. And I had become Bhima, her husband. There's a photograph with me and my wife Draupadi. So to become Draupadi, how much humility he had to cultivate. To accept a woman's role, to have a long hair and sari and walk like a woman, talk like a woman for a long time, for all sessions of practice, for maybe 50 times practice, and finally dress up and make up as a woman, and finally perform, and thousands of devotees are going to watch you. But you do because you are humble and you love to please the devotees. So you do it. So Sri Krishna doesn't mind to become a woman, a sakhi, to take a long veil to ornament himself and in herself maybe. Not one time, hundreds of times. He doesn't mind becoming embarrassed as a woman to seek that love. You can imagine how esoteric and wonderful and transcendental and highest the love must be for which he is taking, ready to take all these odd positions of being scolded, becoming a woman, and so many things are there. So, he gives up his chappals, he gives up his mukut, he gives up his rajdanda, he gives up his ornaments, rajvastra, everything, the position, even the knowledge of he being Supreme Personality, Vaikuntha Nath, Akhil Brahmandeshwar, that also he steals from the heart of devotees so that he can experience that natural, purest possible happiness with his devotees. This is our Lord. Huh? Our Lord has no sankoch or no complex to do things. For love, he will do anything. He himself says in Brihad Bhagavatamrita, I have left Vaikuntha opulences to steal and taste the butter of the gopis. All the butter and everything, cows belong to him. He is the owner of that. But he loves to steal and enjoy, because something if you give officially, not so much pleasure. But you steal something, there's some thrill in that, you know. We used to study in school, sometimes in neighbor's house. And the neighbors would go out for some work. And just during Deepavali, we are doing homework. So I would close the door, open the dabba, and eat Diwali laddus by stealing. There were laddus in my house also. Because something different thrill was there in stealing the laddu and eating. Or we used to hide under the bed in the mango season time, summer vacation, and try to pretend to sleep under the bed where the mango box used to be there. And under the cover, we used to eat mangoes. We got enough mangoes in lunch time, but still we wanted to eat more. So there's some thrill is there, you know. So that kind of thrilling, transcendental, loving experience the Lord also want to have. He can just, as a Vishnu, can order 10 kilos of butter from Vrindavan Dham, import, like we order from ghee from Barsana or ghee from Vrindavan, like that. They can also order, bring some 100 kilos of butter from the coward gods of Vrindavan, and I will now nicely eat it. No, he will give up all the position, all the chappals and everything, and become a coward boy and become a chore to eat that. So this is our Lord. And that, all this bhav, called Madhurya Bhav, he gave up. He gave up at one point of time. When he got Akrura from Kamsa's side, and Akrura is taking him out of Vrindavan. And that time, Akrura stopped to take bath in Jamuna. And he put the two boys on the chariot and he went to Jamuna and he dipped under Jamuna. And under Jamuna he saw Sheshanag and Vishnu sleeping on that. And he could understand, these two boys only have become that. It was immediately understood by him. This Sheshanag is Balaram and this Vishnu is Krishna. So he rose up from water and saw they were sitting on the chariot. He again went down the water and saw they were there down. And they were like innocently laughing here and there. Childhood pastimes are happening. Then he understood that. Now they are giving up their bhav of braj, madhurya. They are not coming out with that bhav. They are going to be there only in sukshma form and with opulent bhav, acceptance of opulence, the reality of their being Supreme Personality of Godhead with full opulences. With that they are going to Mathura out of Vrindavan. That is the significance. So, Vrindavanam padam ekam na gacchati. Sri Krishna never leaves actually Vrindavan. In totality, in reality, in the original constitutional situation, he never leaves Vrindavan. But there is Sukshma and Stula. In Stula, in Lila he appears as Stula, there in the form. But in Sukshma he is always there. He never left. He entered the hearts of all Brijvasis and gave them intense experience of union in separation. Much, much more than what they were with him physically, with some distance or with maybe hugging also, or embracing. But still, much more closer than that, the experience he gave them when he actually left physically to Mathura and entered the hearts of Brijvasis. So when he left, he intensified the experience what he had them had with them all the while. And then at other side, he accepted the opulence and he went to Mathura. And then he killed the demons and then he went to remained in Mathura for a long time. And Jarasandha came, that a war was there. Then he arranged for Mahabharata for a long time, tried to negotiate. Then how he established Dwarka, 17th time when Jarasandha came and same time Kalevana also was going to come. So all the Mathuravasis said is too difficult for us. You guys should fight in the war field. But this fight is happening right in the middle of our streets of the city. It's like we are in our palace and the houses and just we peep from the Jharokha, you see war is going on down. How can we live like that? On our day-to-day roads and day-to-day ponds and day-to-day areas of moving around, there is constant threat of war here. We just can't live. 16 times with 24 akshavidis of sanya gathering and attacking and invading our dear Mathura city is impossible for us to live. So please relieve us. So Krishna said, yes, yes. So he called Vishwakarma. And instantly he gave an elaborate plan that is to be also executed in the land claimed from ocean. Lord is, you know, what Lord cannot do. We do some Bandra reclamation and then some tsunami comes somewhere else, you know, Dahanu area. So some threat is there because you encroached the land, encroached upon ocean and created some land and did something nonsense against the Prakriti and Prakriti is reacting very harshly. The Lord is just instructing, go. Tell the ocean to go behind. Vishwakarma, you come. You make my city of hundreds and thousands of palaces in elaborate manner. Then gardens and walkways and ponds and trees and everything for enjoyment, happiness and protection and all kinds of security will be there. And the lo and behold, what happened is, overnight, within few hours, the whole city was razed. Whole city with individual houses for individuals also. Not some structure was made and you have to find your place and then you do interiors on your own. You buy your furniture and you do painting on your own and make your kitchen on your own. Everything was made. And the most wonderful thing than that is everybody slept in Mathura and they woke up in their new houses fully furnished in Dwarka. How wonderful. No stress of packing, unpacking, no stress of when we shift, what happens? 3 months we don't find our pen, our pencil, our foot roll, our mosquito repellent. We don't find where it is. It takes 3 months to find out and settle down. Here overnight we woke up in the new house. And that we are already fully settled there. There is no question about things and everything. Lord also there, everybody is there, everybody is there. And whole Mathura is empty. How wonderful, right? Just to be with the Lord and to be close to the Lord is so wonderful. So many wonderful, unbelievable things happen when you are with the most wonderful person. That is Krishna. But still, Sri Krishna in originality is that Krishna only who is from Vrindavan. That is why while he was in Dwarka also, he would cry while eating food. And Rukmini is wondering, why is he crying? Is it anything less in this? Is it something wrong we have done? Who is our bhav? Some contaminated or something deficiency. Oh, please let us know when I have made personally with my own hands and I'm serving you with my own hands and I'm fanning you, looking at what you want, and still you appear to be crying. and appear to be lost, appears to be distracted. What is it that? She said that, this food is very wonderful. It's very, very tasty. Super tasty. You are Bhagya Lakshmi yourself. How can there be not good taste? But, my mother in childhood used to take hard food material, like we have kadak bundi laddu, child cannot bite it and break it. So mother breaks it by hathodi or something. But my mother used to break it by her teeth, bite it and masticate and chew it for some time, and then take out that thing and put in my mouth with love. See, that taste cannot be matched with this taste. I'm sorry to say, but this is a fact. I cannot say this is not tasty, but that taste cannot come in this. So what Rukmini will say? She cannot do that for Dwarkadish Krishna. She is wife. She cannot be mother. So mother is a mother. And that too, mother of Vrindavan Dham. And she is with so much of love doing that. And then suddenly in the night, in sleeping, with 16,108 beautiful queens, one more beautiful than other, is sleeping with them. Suddenly he stands up on the bed and starts crying and calling up Lalita, Vishakha, Radhe, Vrishabhanu, Nandini. They're wondering, why are you crying? Tell us what we can do. They were not envious, but they were wondering, we will make you feel like they used to make you feel like same love. We want to give you the same experience. Let us know what we can do. But he said, how can I explain to you what experience I used to have with them? I remember them. And then they said, they were always eagerly enthusiastic to find out how to match that and give the same pleasure and not make them... they were not feeling that, he should not remember them. That was not a feeling. The feeling was that he should not suffer because of that. He should be happy. So how can we make him happy? So he said, I'll tell you one day. And then all of you know the pastime of the dust of lotus feet. He had a headache one day. Then Narad Muni went to Vrindavan and got man bharke. Man means 40 kilos. They count in man, Man means 40 kilos. Many months of braj raj he got. And all the queens immediately went behind and they said, no, we cannot give our dust of our feet. You are our master, you are our husband, you are our pati. You are a worshipable Lord. We cannot give our dust to you. We will go to hell. So gopis was told that also. You will go to hell if you do that. They said that even if the headache is not cured, that's a big thing, the headache will get cured. But even if the headache is reduced by an iota percentage for some time, for that relief for some time, we are ready to go eternally into hell and suffer there. This is not even imaginable also for the queens of Dwarka. They can't even imagine to that extent. But Gopi ke se, aap ke liye kuch bhi, anything you tell, anything we are ready for, any amount of suffering is fine with us. For your little pleasure, for little time, little place, we are ready for all the things. So there also, while in Dwarka also, Sri Krishna maintained that braj consciousness of love. The experience, the gratitude to the gopis and the brajvasis. He maintained that in Dwarka also. And even though he didn't want to exhibit it, but it was like uncontrollably getting exhibited again and again. He didn't want to cry while taking prasad, but somehow tears would flow out from his eyes. He didn't want to get up and stand up and call gopis in the middle of the night, but it was like happening uncontrollably. And it was witnessed by the queens and Dwarkavasis. What to do? All of them had to also witness because he had to show them that they were insisting upon. And then Rohini Mataji were again and again pestered by all the queens. Please tell us about the Krishna's pastimes. Tell about pastimes of Krishna in childhood. We were not there. We got in his life only when we were young and all the childhood pastimes we missed. You are the only witness. Tell us. But even she knew that even now if you utter the word Vrindavan and Vrindavan's some memories, they will just call Daruka and go to Vrindavan not to come back ever again. So, Rohini was aware. Even the queens are aware. We want to hear the pastimes of Vrindavan, but we don't want to lose our husband's association. So they were able to control again and again. But then one day they thought we should still hear doing some arrangements. And then what happened? Sri Krishna came into ecstasy of Mahabhav. And there came Jagannath, Baldev Subhadra. Imagine. So, नहीं दिखाना है, फिर भी दिखाना पड़ रहा है. What to do? They did some exhibition, some description, and some assembly. He may be in cognito, in confidence, but it cannot be hidden from him. Nothing is in confidence and in cognito from Krishna, actually. That bhava braj, if manifested somewhere, it has to touch him, it has to attract him. So he was attracted, and not only attracted, he went into mahabhav, the ultimate bhav that he can ever go into, which arises from Radharani. He achieved that. And that's why today we have Jagannath, Jagannath darshan. So whether it is Jagannath Puri darshan, that is also braj bhav in different flavor. He is in Dwarka, still braj flavor is coming out at times. He is in Vrindavan, it is full-fledged manifested. And he's in Gauranga bhav, Gauranga mood. Again he is exhibiting what? That same love of braj. Why he became Gauranga? To explore further in the depths of that love. He became Gauranga. He spent one incarnation, invested, planned, organized one full incarnation. Just to experience that full thing in more depth that you couldn't experience in 11 years and 52 days time in Vrindavan. He wanted to go further in depth, not in quantity or not in external, in depth, subtlest possible. So he's there in Navadvip, but what is he experiencing? Braj love. He's there in Jagannath Puri for 18 years, what is he intensely experiencing? The ultimate experience of Vipralamba Bhav, of that Braj Bhumi. So wherever the Lord is, and why is he all the 48 years he was hankering to come to Vrindavan, all time only struggling to come to Vrindavan. I want to go to Vrindavan. Devotees are holding him. Don't go. He finally went. And 2 months, what kind of time he had there. Finally, Ballabhadra Bhattacharya had to tell him, my Lord, now please we leave. It's difficult for me to manage all the things what's happening here. Let us go now. And they went back. So this is our Lord. Even though he's fighting the war of Mahabharata, Radharani is in the heart. That's why there's a temple, Radha Parth Sardi. So devotees are asking, Radha Parth Sardi, what is the connection? Radha and Parth Sardi, what is the connection? He's in the warfare. He's in fighting a war in Kurukshetra with his beloved Pandavas, and where Radharani is there fighting with him, standing on the chariot. No, it was explained that even though he is with on the chariot with Arjun in the middle of the greatest war of the ever happening in the world, Radharani is still in the heart. He is still relishing the presence and relationship with Radha in the heart. Although while he is instructing, guiding, supervising the war. You may be in the office, very busy in the meeting, but your wife is sick. How are you? The child is having fever. How is he? How is Raghunath doing? Is fever less down? Did he eat today? So you may be doing a great thing, great important. We may be Prime Minister of India. But your son is having fever, you can't just forget. 8 hours, no son. Let him die in 8 hours. I don't care. After 8 hours, I will see. It's not like that. The heart doesn't change because you change the place and change the work. You leave home and go to office. Your heart doesn't change. Your heart is the same. For time being, it is covered with something and some duty is happening. But the heart remains as it is. So like that, even though he's doing a very business, very important business in Kurukshetra, but the heart of love for Radharani and Vishuddhamai, it cannot change, no? It is always there. And that is our Lord. To such Lord, we are supposed to develop love and affection, connection, relationship. And it is in our interest only. When we develop connection with such a beautiful Lord, our life becomes fulfilled, number one, first thing. Our life is kleshagni, fully free from all sufferings. Our life is fully auspicious, full of pleasure, satisfaction, no hankering, no lamentation. And the Lord also very happy to develop one more person to communicate and to relate to in loving relationships. So it's adding to his pleasure also when we become devotees. So let us all thank our Supreme Lord for being what he is, and he is all the time. He is so much extraordinary personality. The very form of love, personification of love. Eager to relate to all of us with love. So we are so fortunate actually. We are in this very fortunate human life. We have been bestowed with this fortune of being in connection with that Supreme Lord by the mercy of Sri Gurudev, who so kindly has given us this password to connect with him. And in through the initiation, he has given us the official connection for us to develop further and to please him and the Lord together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Is there any question anybody has? Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.